The Government of India allocation of business rules have laid down in detail the specific subjects allotted to the ministry. The main subjects include workers' education, labor and employment statistics, immigration of labor for employment abroad. Now, here we are talking about workers' education. What do you mean by workers' education? Now, this includes a formal training or a formal awareness about the work. Labor and employment statistics is nothing but the information and data regarding, labor and employment. Immigration means, moving of workers from one place to another. Now, there are some occupations wherein, say for example, contractors or engineering companies who may require labor for a particular period of time because the work is in that particular area. But when the site work is over, the site moves to some other place. So what will be, the laws, rules and regulation in that particular case where there is lot of migration of workers? Employment services and vocational training, we have already discussed on this. Administration of central labor and employment services. International cooperation in matters relating to labor and employment. Attached offices. Now, earlier discussed were the points which were directly taken care of by the main ministry. Now, there are some attached offices. We have discussed there are 4 attached offices. So, what all will be the area of discussion in the attached offices? Office of the Chief Labor Commissioner, Directorate General, Factory, Advice Service and Labor Institute, Labor Bureau, Directorate General Employment and Training. So these are the 4 attached offices to the main ministry. Now talking about Office of Chief Labor Commissioner. Now when we talk about Labor Commissioner somewhere represents the head of the labor. So anything happening in that particular area comes under Chief Labor Commissioner. And he is responsible for that particular commission. Now, the Chief Labor Commissioner, he himself alone will not be able to do so. So, further, we have a setup or hierarchy wherein we have a Joint Chief Labor Commissioner who will be assisting the Labor Commissioner. Then we have a Chief Advisor. In terms of labor welfare only, we have spoken that minimum standards are, necessary for achievement. But then here we are also looking forward to improve the standard of living. So this particular chief advisor will be dealing specifically in the labor welfare area. A director which will be dealing into training and development of a particular area. A few deputy chief labor commissioners, they have not given any specific numbers in this. They have told that few. That may be, depending on the current scenario, how many are required. Then we have a regional labor commissioner. Because one labor commissioner will not be able to, sort out issues in the different regions. So we have your regional labor commissioner. Assistant labor commissioner, 2. Regional Labor Commissioner and Labor Enforcement Officers at the headquarters. And further we have few Deputy Chief Labor Commissioners and a number of Regional Labor Commissioners, Assistant Labor Commissioners and Labor Enforcement Officers in the field as discussed. The functionaries in the hierarchy of the organization have been designated as. Now here we are talking about organizational point of view. In my example, I have told you that any dispute, conflict arising in an industry, first they will try to, resolve at the industry level, inter-industry level. If not, then only, it will be taken to the higher authorities. So when we talk about a setup within an industry, who all are the, people designated for this? So there are inspectors. There are authorities or I can say committees, controlling authorities, appellate authorities, conciliation officer which are designated within the industry, registrar of trade unions. Prevention, investigation and settlement of industrial dispute in the central sphere. Implementation of labor laws in industries and establishment in respect of which the central government is the appropriate government. Enforcement of settlement and award. So now this becomes a responsibility of an organization, first of all, that whenever there is a dispute, let the investigation happen so that we understand the ultimate cause of it. Then we go through a proper procedure which is being set up by the appropriate government. Now, what is the appropriate government? In some cases where the industries are on national level, central government is appropriate government. Now, say for any industry who is having its operation only in one state, then state government is the appropriate government for that particular industry. Enforcement of settlement and awards. Awards are nothing but the binding decisions on both the party. If it is happening at a mutual agreement, now say for example, any conflict, conciliation officer who is designated to resolve the conflict in the industry itself. So if employer and employee mutually agree to a common point and the conflict is resolved or the dispute is resolved, that is called as settlement. That means we had a mutual settlement, employee and employer, with the help of conciliation officer. But then the dispute is not resolved, that we take it to higher authority. We have spoken about arbitrator. So there what happens is, again we have a formal discussion on it, and then arbitrator what thinks is fit for the situation, he will pass a solution, and that is award. Award means it is binding. In case of conciliation officer, whatever solutions have come may not be binding, but your award is binding on both the parties. Verification of membership of trade union affiliated to the central organization of workers for the purpose of giving them representation in national and international conferences. So when I talk about international conferences, it is ILO, and member of employee, that is representatives of employee, will participate in this type of conferences. And committees and determining their representative character for recognition under the code of discipline. So here we are actually talking about trade union and its membership. Investigation into breaches of code of discipline. When we talk about Directorate General, Factory Advice Service and Labor Institute, this particular office is, or the headquarter of this office is situated in Mumbai. It is located in Mumbai. It's functional as a technical arm of the ministry in regards to matters concerned with safety, health and welfare of workers in factories and ports and docks. So here they have actually taken a broad category. Not only factories, but ports and docks are also covered under Directorate General Factory Advice Service and Labor Institute. It assists the central government in the formulation and review of policy and legislation on occupational safety and health in factories and ports. Now here, this particular body or institute is helping the central government by providing sufficient data on how health, safety, in the factories and docks can be improved. It maintains liaison with factory inspectors of states in regard to implementation and enforcement of provisions of the Factories Act 1948. So when you deal with Factories Act 1948, there are several provisions which comes under health, safety, and minimum requirements to be fulfilled by each factory. So whether these minimum requirements are being fulfilled by employers or not, so to have a proper check on this, we have inspectors. So now these inspectors regularly visit after few intervals. They regularly visit in these factories and they have a proper check whether these safety provisions, health provisions, which are set up for betterment of employees, are being followed by the employer or not. If not, in a notice it is being given to the employer to rectify it, and still if they have not done it, that report is being maintained by the inspectors. So here in this point, they are in continuous coordination with the inspectors of the particular states, and they are taking these reports that how many factory or how many employers are at fault. It enforces the Dock Workers Act 1986. So whatever provisions are being made in the Dock Workers Act 1986 are being implemented by Directorate General. The organization renders advice on technical matters and undertakes research in the industrial psychology. So here they are also providing a vocational type of thing, a consultation type of service if there are any technical issues prevailing in particular industry. So they will do further research on this by collecting information, analyzing those, and you know, giving some recommendations on how this particular issues can be resolved in that particular industry. It provides training in the field of industrial safety and health and conducts 1 year diploma course in industrial safety and 3 month certificate course in industrial health. So here they are also providing, this institute is also providing few formal education and diplomas which will, you know, give a thorough knowledge to that person about how safety in an industry can be maintained. And there is also 3 month course which will deal on how the health of workers can be taken better care of. Labor institutes are located in Mumbai, Kanpur, Kolkata and Chennai. So we have discussed the headquarters are in Mumbai, but they are operating in Kanpur, Calcutta and Chennai. Now Labor Bureau. So now this Labor Bureau also deals in some sensitive areas of industry which are directly related to the efficiency of workers. It is located in Shimla and Chandigarh. The organization is headed by Directorate General. So this comes under Directorate General, and the Labor Bureau will report to Directorate General. What are its responsibilities of the organization, that is Labor Bureau? Collection, compilation and dissemination of labor statistics. So when we say about statistics, what are statistics? They are nothing but required information. So this particular bureau will collect the information and data. Construction and maintenance of working class, consumer price index, number for selected centers and all India basis for industrial workers. Construction of CPI numbers for agriculture and rural workers. So they are also dealing in agricultural workers, which is unorganized in nature actually, and we are also talking about rural workers. Maintenance of up-to-date data relating to working conditions of industrial workers. Undertaking research into specific problems concerning labor with a view to supplying data and information needed for formulation of labor policy. So Labor Bureau actually conducts research in the specific problems that are being faced by workers in that particular industry, and this data collected, this research which is being conducted, this helps the ministry to design and formulate labor laws. Publishing reports, pamphlets and brochures on various aspects of labor. Bringing out regular publications of Indian Labor Journal, which comes monthly. So in this journal you will find, you know, various information regarding the conditions of worker, industrial development, areas, issues, problems related to this, and this is being published on a monthly basis. Indian Labor Yearbook and Pocketbook of Labor Statistics. Labor Bureau also brings out reports on the working of few labor laws, reviews on industrial disputes, closures, layoff, retrenchment, special publication on matters of labor interest, and a monthly newsletter that is called as Labor Intelligence. So this Labor Bureau is into a lot of research and publication of statistics related to the labor. So here in this report, which is coming monthly, it is issued monthly, it covers how many layoffs in how many industries has been taken place. Now if you see, in past few months, L&T was in lot of news talking about, you know, layoff. There was a major layoff, the biggest layoff in the history, that is 14,000 workers from L&T were laid off. Now these type of news which actually affect the overall the labor force, so these type of current news, then any resolving of disputes, these type of newses will be covered in such newsletters. Directorate General Employment and Training. So here the particular area which this authority is covering is only employment and training. So you might understand that how, you know, the employment trend will be affected and the training will be affected to the overall workforce. The headquarters of this organization is located in New Delhi. It is headed by the Directorate General Employment and Training. The organization is responsible for laying down the policies, standards, norms, and guidelines in the areas of vocational training throughout the country and coordinating employment services. So mainly, this organization looks into, you know, guidelines, policy designing, and the basic standards of vocational training that needs to be given. And this data is being given to the employment services. So you can see we are forming a circle over here. That means what kind of workforce is needed, and that data will be collected by the employment services, and we are able to get such type of workforce in our industry. And these type of workforce which are actually needed, you know, will have minor gaps. And when we have minor gaps, we are able to have a very smooth and efficient work going on, and automatically there is profit maximization, and it is helping overall economic development of the country. Employment services and vocational training are operated through a countrywide network of employment exchanges. Now, under this employment services, how are we operating? We have multiple employment exchanges working under this. Industrial training institutes and number of other specialized institutes, both at the central and at the state level. Development of these programs at the national level, laying down standards and procedures of training of officers, and evolution of program in the responsibility of Directorate General Employment and Training. So here the point is being almost repeated, but here only the difference is we are here planning training, vocational guidance for the officers. Here we are not talking about any worker, but we are talking about the officers. Day-to-day administration of the employment exchanges and industrial training institutes rest with the state government, union territories. Both are involved in laying down procedures for employment exchanges and industrial training institutes. Employment exchanges provide placement and vocational guidance services to job seekers. Now there are, you know, this agency, particularly employment exchanges, are acting as a middleman between the employer who are looking out for employees and for job seekers. That means the people who are looking for the job. So they act as a middleman and try to connect this both parties. Now talking about the subordinate offices. Now there are 10 subordinate offices, which will help to a smooth implementation of all the policies. So the very first is the Directorate General of Mines Safety, located in Dhanbad. It is entrusted with the responsibility of enforcing the Mines Act. Now you see the nearby areas of Dhanbad, there are a lot many mines over there. So somewhere we can identify this type of requirement was felt for the very first time, wherein there are a lot many mines found. With the responsibility of enforcing the Mines Act 1952 and the rules and regulations framed under it. It also enforces the Indian Electricity Act 1910 as applicable to mines and oil fields, and Maternity Benefit Act 1961 in mines. Now we have a common Maternity Benefit Act, but when it comes to mines and oil mines, the law has certain variations. So now here the subordinated offices, among them which is General of Mines and Safety. So here this particular organization will be taking care of the limited areas or the time, frame work they are designated with. 9 offices of welfare commissioner. So one we have already discussed out of 10, and 9 will be offices for welfare commissioners. Now where is this located? It is located at Allahabad, Bangalore, Bilwara, Bhubaneswar, Kolkata, Hyderabad, Jabalpur, Karma and Nagpur. The organizations are responsible for enforcement of various labor welfare fund acts. Now we are not talking about only labor welfare provisions, but we are also talking about the fund which will be required to fulfill this labor welfare provisions. Vis-a-vis mica mines, limestone and dolomite mines, BD workers, cine workers, dock workers, building workers and chrome ore mines. All these particular industries are taken care of by this 9 offices of welfare commissioner. The activities of Coal Mines Labour Welfare Organization, which were governed by the Coal Mines Labour Welfare Fund Act 1947, were taken care of by Coal India Limited, now is under this Welfare Commissioner's Office. The organizations formulate and implement various welfare schemes for the benefit of coal mine workers, such as housing, medical and recreational facilities, water supply, educational facilities, etc. See, now here we are not talking about any rules, regulation or policy. We are talking about some schemes. Schemes means for the benefit of the workers. And again, there are limited number of workers working in mines. We are talking about the workers who are actually working in mines. So we, coal mines workers. So we are providing them with housing facility. That means we give some concessions to them. We help them to raise their standard of living by having a proper house. Then we are also giving them free medical services. Some of them might be completely free or some might be having some concessions in it. Then we are further helping them with education of their children, clean water supply. So these all are the additional schemes designed by this particular organization for the welfare of workers working in the coal mines. They have also undertaken schemes of scholarships for the children of workers, accident benefit for the workers and their dependents. So now, number of accidents when we talk about are more when we talk about this industry. So what happens when such accident takes place? There are dependents of the workers that needs to be taken care of. So what all provisions will be decided under this act will be decided by this organization. Not only that, for the workers' children, what they are doing is, if they are really brilliant and they want to pursue good education, they are also providing them with scholarships. Now, when we have spoken about 10 subordinated or subordinate offices, we also have some autonomous organizations. Okay, so now they are independent in nature when it comes to taking decisions and implementing it. So now, what is the role of autonomous organizations in the labor laws and policies? So Employee State Insurance Corporation, that is ESIC, which actually deals into taking care of certain issues which are related to health of the employee. So here there is some contribution made by the employer and employee, and they both together invest some amount every month, so that whenever an employer or worker who is actually earning hardly that much, that helps his and his family to survive. So whenever such emergencies come, like say medical expenses, maternity expenses, so they are really sufferers in that. So this particular ESIC take cares of their sickness, their medical expenses through a wide network of hospitals and doctors. A statutory body set up under the Employee State Insurance Act, that is 1948. Headquarters are in New Delhi. Principal officers, Directorate General, Insurance Commissioner, Medical Commissioner, Chief Accounts Officer. There is also Standing Committee and Medical Benefit Council under ESIC. The organization administers various benefits under the Act, with sickness, maternity, disablement. Now few workers are working on the machineries and may meet with an accident and may lose body parts, like say one hand. So now what will be the benefits given to those type of employees? Dependence expenses, funeral expenses, which are cash benefits, and medical benefits. Now, one more body we talk about is Employees Provident Fund, that is EPF. Now, this is also, you know, with a viewpoint of security of the employee. Okay, every month when the employee is young, hardworking, they save, you know, some amount of money. Not only the employee or worker, but the employer also contributes to his saving. So, headquarter of this is in New Delhi. Chief Executive Officer is the Central Chief PF Commissioner. Responsible for the enforcement of the Employee Provident Fund and Miscellaneous Provision Act 1952 and the scheme framed under it, such as Employees PF Scheme 1952, Employees Deposit Linked Insurance Scheme 1976, Employee Pension Scheme 1995. So, when we talk about EPF, in simple words, if you want to understand it, it is a contribution made by employer and employee every month, and this accumulates to a larger amount or a fund when it is required. It can be used, say, after retirement or maybe whenever the worker leaves the organization, that accumulated fund is being given to him or is transferred to the other organization where he joins. And maybe now if you see the recent amendments made in the EPF, there are also provisions, you know, made that employee can use this fund whenever required. Say for example, if there is some marriage happening in the family and employer requires this fund, he can take loan against this particular fund. And he can repay this whenever after paying some minimum interest. Central Board for Workers Education, its headquarters is located in Nagpur, and the main objectives of this particular autonomous organization is to strengthen sense of patriotism, national integrity, unity, communal harmony, secularism among the working class. The board conducts a variety of workers education and training program. So in short, this particular body is responsible for training and education of the workers. V.V. Giri National Labour Institute, registered society with the objective of undertaking, promoting and coordinating research on labor. It is located in Noida. So this particular institute is contributing, you know, in terms of information and data related to labor aspects. Adjudicating bodies on March 31st, 2002, 17 Central Government Industrial Tribunal cum Labour Code set up under the Industrial Dispute Act 1947. Now, I have already given you some examples on what are, you know, tribunals and what is Labour Code. So, such numbers are being given over here are being taken care of by these bodies. Of this, two each are located in Mumbai, Dhanbad, and one each in Asansol. Bangalore, Bhubaneswar, Chandigarh, Chennai, Hyderabad, Kolkata, Kanpur, Lucknow, Jabalpur, Jaipur, New Delhi and Nagpur. Now this is Board of Arbitration. That means it is an external body who will take care of the disputes happening and will help, you know, to have a consultation among the two parties and give some solutions. It was set up in 1968 under the scheme of Joint Consultative Machinery. When we talk about Joint Consultative Machinery, means what? Arbitrator along with the parties will try to resolve the matter. So it is Joint Consultative Machinery and Compulsory Arbitration. That means compulsory arbitration, when I say the solution offered by the arbitrator will be binding on both the parties, and it was introduced by the Ministry of Labour in 1966. The Board of Arbitration consists of one full-time chairman and two other members representing the staff and official sides, appointed out of a panel at the time of a reference of a dispute to the board. So this is somewhere a hierarchy set up by the Board of Arbitration. So one is the chairman and there are two other members who will be representing as their staffs. The board is an institution for compulsory arbitration of disputes between employee and the government on matters relating to pay and allowances, weekly hours of work and leave of a class or a grade of employees. So when we talk about here two parties, one of the party is government over here and the other party is employee or the representatives of the employee. So they here come to a common point. We talk about the strike that has happened a few months back, wherein they are disputing in the minimum wage rate. So your arbitrator will also help this particular representatives of employees as well as government to come at a common point. According to the National Commission on Labor, the main principles of labor policy operating in the country for last some years could be summed up as follows. So now they have given some list of laws or labor policies which have come after so much of research, data collection, information, and finally they have come into action. So some the areas wherein they have worked are recognition of the state, the custodian of the interest of the community as the catalyst of change and welfare programs. Recognition of the right of the workers to peaceful or direct action if justice is denied to them. So somewhere they have created some machineries wherein the worker is being provided with justice if the matter is not resolved or not entertained by the employer or the organization. So they have also recognized few minimum rights of the workers and how to deal with it. Encouragement to mutual settlement, collective bargaining and voluntary arbitration. So here they have also set up few machineries wherein the dispute can be settled within the industry itself. Intervention by the state in favor of weaker party to ensure fair treatment to all concerned. So when we talk about this weaker party, who is a weaker party? Definitely we are talking about the workers. Primacy to maintenance of industrial peace. That means the primary objective of any labor policy or any organization is to ultimately bring industrial peace. Evolving partnership between the employer and employees in the constructive endeavor to promote satisfaction of the economic needs of the community in the best possible manner. So when there is peace and harmony between employer and employee, the community as a whole is going to benefit out of it. Ensuring fair wages standards and provision of social security. So not only wages, which is a consideration of service offered by an employee, but then they are also taking care of some other social security measures like PF, gratuity, pension scheme, etc. Cooperation for augmenting production and increasing productivity, adequate enforcement of legislation, enhancing the status of the worker in the industry, tri-party consultation. What is tri-party consultation? That is government, employer and employee. The thrust of the recent labor policy is more towards creating a climate of healthy industrial relations and promoting an industrial culture conducive to improvement in efficiency, productivity and real wages. So whatever they have discussed is the primary objective. See, whenever we are talking about fair wages, it is to ultimately satisfy the employee so that he works efficiently and at the same time the productivity is increased. When the productivity is increased, cost per unit reduces, and when the cost per unit reduces, profit maximization happens. So ultimate objective, to frame any labor policy directly or indirectly is affecting the economic perspective of a country. So here when we talk about the labor administration, how it is taken care in India, so we have certain ministerial bodies, autonomous bodies, they come together and work as a unit to ultimately fulfill the objective of industrial peace and harmony in the country, which will automatically help the country to develop as a whole. Thank you so much.